but I still felt this isn't quite it. And my journey there to that point was quite difficult. I didn't have much support. I suffered through a lot of medical and like physical and mental health problems along the way. And so this business is really creating the support system that I wish that I had through that journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Off to the Valley, a podcast that brings to light incredible stories of those who left the familiarity of home for new horizons. I'm your host, Pratik Panda, always curious and eager to share these journeys of courage and determination. Today, we are delighted to have Sarah Powell join our podcast. She's a perfect example of the values and spirit that we cherish here. Her remarkable story is one of venturing beyond her familiar boundaries, and it embodies the spirit of exploration and discovery. She's had an impressive background as a consultant for Accenture and the COO for various mission-driven organizations globally. And it's very interesting to experience the freedom she's created in her life in alignment with her values. Now, there was a pivotal moment in her life that got her to pause, reflect, and ultimately rediscover her identity and values. We are going to talk about all of that as well as her professional milestones, but our focus today is to talk more about the human story behind these achievements. Sarah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for that introduction.
Tell us a little bit about Impactuary first. What is it about?
Sure. Yeah, this is my latest venture. Hopefully my last is my dream business that I started. So we work with women executives to help them find more purpose and less stress at work. And so we do that through career fulfillment coaching and retreats. We have one in Mallorca in the summer, and then in the fall, we have one in Nepal.
Awesome. That sounds very interesting. So it helps women get better at the workplace, find more out of their career while also taking care of their values and themselves also, right? Why is this your dream venture? You said this is probably the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, basically throughout my own career. So I was in consulting for a long time. I also reached a peak in my career where I thought, oh, this is it. I've achieved it. I've made it to the mountaintop, like being a chief operating officer. And I was really close to the life that I really wanted for myself, but I still felt this isn't quite it. And my journey there to that point was quite difficult. I didn't have much support. I suffered through a lot of medical and like physical and mental health problems along the way. And so this business is really creating the support system that I wish that I had through that journey. And another thing is that when I was looking for support, I really felt like, and even when I was in corporate still, I feel like a lot of the leadership development programs or a lot of other courses and things, they're just very surface level. They don't actually get to the root of what do I really want? Like helping me really get to that. And why is it so hard to even stay? A lot of people, myself included for a long time, had trouble even articulating exactly what that was, because a lot of us haven't felt safe just expressing our needs. We always are looking externally and putting our focus externally to everyone else instead of reconnecting inward with that. Helping people figure out what that is, but also, okay, I'm here. I want to go there. What's standing in the way? And so at the root of it is always limiting beliefs, which are formed when we are 0 to 7 years old. They could be a little later, but typically the way that we see ourselves in the world is formed at that age. And that's the same operating system that we're running on today. And we don't realize it. So those strategies that kept us safe when we were a baby, helpless to our caregiver, those strategies are probably not the most effective as an adult that has free will and autonomy and all of this, but most of us are still using those same tactics. So really helping people to get clear on that and release the stress, the anger, the frustration, the sadness, whatever all of these things are, these powerful emotions that keep us playing small instead of reaching our full potential. So it's been the most fulfilling work that I've ever done, not only because I get to give back, but also it's just something that is really allowing me to use my talents and gifts. And it's just work that's so energizing to me. And yeah, so that's what I help my clients do, is really, once I've experienced this, like, oh my gosh, I want everyone to experience just the joy of being in flow, really feeling fulfilled. This is not for just the lucky ones or a small group of people. Words can be such a wonderful place of inspiration, energy. So yeah.
That's amazing. I think you're doing great work, because I can imagine why it is so energizing for you as well, because you're truly changing people's lives. And again, even if we can impact a few people at the workplace, that changes the workplace for everyone around us also. So that positive impact flows very quickly to other people as well. And end of the day, work can more often than not be very stressful. And a lot of that is not just on the tasks that you are doing, but also the people that are around you, right? The people that are around you can also make it either easy or more stressful. Now, you mentioned something where you said you reached the peak of your career. That was a pivotal moment for you to think about this. Do you think this thought of working for yourself or identifying your own self needs, even at the workplace, can come anytime sooner than that? Or do you have to really, you know, achieve everything to get to a point where you can start thinking, hey, where have I come? And is there any other place to go beyond this, or should I now start introspecting about what else to do?
Right? I think everyone is on their own journey, but I would say typically most of us are following a path that we think is going to lead us to fulfillment based on just what we've learned from society or culture, caregivers, things like that. And then at a certain point, usually when you hit executive level or you have the house, the car, the title, the money, you have all those material things that should, you've learned, are supposed to be the markers of success. When you get there and you don't feel successful, it's not that I didn't feel successful. It's more just you feel like something isn't there quite. There's something missing. It's hard to put your finger on. And I think the farther along in your career you are, you realize, okay, like, I'm going to have to take action. I think the pain is greater. So that's why I see particularly people who are around 50, they're pre-retirement and it's that last chapter of their career. And so the motivation is very great for them. But compared to someone who's in their 20s, you feel like, oh, I have forever, my retirement. Oh my gosh, that's not even a concern. So I think it just is all about perspective, but also I think when you're a lot younger or more junior in your career, you don't necessarily think, what is it that I want? And then go and get that. You're like, what is available to me? Or what is the status quo, the typical career paths? And most people just follow that. So I think it's also just realizing, hey, you actually have options. You don't have to just do that one thing. Like, even when I was in consulting, I feel like I've always taken the dance to the beat of my own drum. Because even there, I was like, okay, I want to do something more purposeful. I got involved with our nonprofit practice. And so that was really great. I was taking action to create an environment where I would be more aligned and feel more inspired by my work, and taking advantage of other opportunities, like doing a leave of absence. We had a sabbatical program, so did that to, again, just explore other things. And I think just like taking vacation and doing things that, just figuring out what's going to make me happy and then do those things. But that is a lot easier said than done, especially when it comes to all the complexities of limiting beliefs and what you deserve and feeling like I should be grateful for this. Who am I to want something more? Things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to say than to get it done. Especially what I want to know also is, a lot of listeners of this show are founders themselves. And as founders or even senior execs, there is this social picture that is painted that you have to work really hard and you're spending 15, 16 hours a day thinking or working. And it's just insane, right? And the world or the media keeps throwing these examples of executives who sacrifice family and achieve so much and so many other things. And that keeps hitting you almost on a daily basis, weekly basis. And that changes your thought process over time. You start thinking that, hey, that is the way to success. What would you say to all the listeners right now who are in that boat, who are chasing a particular definition of success and probably are going to realize it very late that that was probably not the right path?
I don't think there's any one right or wrong thing or path. I think it's more just to sit for a moment. Don't just follow the path blindly. Sit and think, is this what I want? Is this even a problem for me? Look at your relationships. Look at your mental health, your physical health, your financial, your hobbies. How much like joy and play do you have in your life? Is this actually what you want? And if the answer is, yeah, I want to be working weekends and all hours and not have good health and have my relationships non-existent or hanging on by a thread. If that's what you want for your life, then maybe that is the right path for you. But I think the main thing is just questioning, is this what I want? Yes or no? And if it's no, what most people don't realize is that what you do want is really not that far from where you are now. It just seems like it. And when you actually do that exercise of reflecting on what is it that I truly want, what will make me happy versus what I'm doing. And actually, this is an activity, an exercise, a reflection that I do with my clients is when life is going amazingly well for you, you're so happy, you're so joyful. What does that look like? What are you doing? What are you investing your time in? Is it, I'm going to the gym, I'm volunteering, I'm having Sunday dinners with my girlfriends, whatever it is, write that down and then go look at your calendar. Go look at your to-do list. So you say these things are important to you and you know those are going to bring you fulfillment. And then how are you actually spending time? And so then you can start to see, okay, let me, and I can't stress this enough, don't add more things, take away things. What's you're doing the most. So figure out what is really not adding value, what's draining me, and remove those things. And then you'll have space to replace them with just doing these little by little, because I know we can be very addicted to work. I think the main thing is just question, what is it that I want? And when you question things, that is going to open up in your mind an opportunity for you to actually change the beliefs that you have around work, your identity, those kinds of things.
That makes sense. You talked a little bit about financial part as well. And do you think in order to, at least I think that in order to, you know, take a few steps back and question all of these, more often than not, you have to also be in some place of financial security. And I've seen a lot of people who reach out to me for help moving from one role to another, but more often than not, they just go from one stressful job to another because they just don't have that, or they've not built this mechanism to be able to take a break and think about this in a more relaxed manner. Do you have a particular suggestion or a format that you ask people to follow so that at least they can give themselves that time to think about themselves?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend taking an actual break, trying to do this kind of deep, real reflection and have a transformational shift. It's going to take more than like a Friday evening or a week. So if you can, if you work at a company that has a generous vacation policy, like take a month off or like at least 2 weeks off. And this is something that living in Europe, I absolutely love that they do. It's just they take off the entire month of August. This is wild to me. And you know, like a month of vacation, what all at once? We're going to get a month of vacation. But yeah, I think just it is what they say is true about rest. Like you really do come back with a more creative mind. You're energized. And I really encourage people to take at least 2 weeks. If you can't, 3 months is really ideal. And between jobs, if you can do six, is like a really good amount of time, because you're going to need three just to recover from the burnout and make sense of your world and everything. And then you can start thinking about the next steps. But yeah, having some kind of plan to be able to financially support yourself, I strongly recommend, whether that's getting support from family or friends or saving up, but definitely planning for it. Because what you don't want to do is be coming from a place of desperation. That's when you are not making sound decisions about your business or your future. That kind of thing. It was just like you said, you just end up going on the hamster wheel of one draining job, toxic work environment to the next, just because you're feeling helpless. And you're also just stressed. Like, you really need to give yourself the time, because when we're stressed, our brains are actually in a survival state. And so critical functions like creativity shut down, a lot of other functions in our body shut down because they're not necessary for the immediate stress of getting away from a saber-toothed tiger or something like that. So, getting into a relaxed state. But even if you only have those 2 weeks, you know, really doing your best to disconnect, do like deep breathing exercises can really help you immediately get into a calm state, so that you can just start to think more clearly about what you want and more creatively about opportunities. That's the other thing. Or get support, get a coach, something, get someone who can guide you through that. Because yeah, it's really difficult when you're in the weeds of it all.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Sarah. I think that's, you know, really important to be in that place where you can actually take this step. And for that, you need either a coach or supportive friends, family, your own financial support, to help you even get to that point. Great. So, Sarah, you've taken multiple breaks in your corporate career. You've done impact projects in India as well as Ethiopia. How did you plan this? How did it shape your experience as a person? And how are you bringing that to Impactuary?
Yeah, I think it's like I've taken mini retirements. my career. Yeah. Highly recommend this is just another example of you don't have to do what everyone else is doing, just listening to what you need and want. So yeah, this started way back in 2014 when I was doing consulting. I took a 3-month leave of absence and worked in India, and that was so eye-opening to me and gave me, I think, the consistent theme with every break that I've taken is that, one, it gives me the chance to get perspective, which you need when you're too in the weeds, like we were just talking about. You're stressed and you actually can't see opportunities as much and you can't think as creatively. So taking these breaks has given me perspective on what I want in life, where I've come and where I want to go. And also give me an opportunity to see myself in a different light. So like when I went to India, that was, I was doing a project with social enterprise. And back then, like, what? Social entrepreneurship? Like, what is that? Like, never heard of it. But that for me was so life-changing, because not only living in a foreign country, particularly India is one of a kind, living there for 3 months, but in environment where I was able to use my consulting skills to really help change people's lives. We were working with an organization that was curbing human trafficking. And this was actually the original inspiration. It stayed with me until starting Impactuary, because I was like, wow, I want to use my business skills to help other women who are in business. So that was really powerful for me to have that experience. So after I left consulting, I moved to Spain to do my MBA. I basically was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what the next step is, but it's not staying in DC doing consulting. So I quit my job. I sold all of my stuff and moved to Spain. And so that was, although an MBA is definitely not relaxing or a real break, it was a break from my regular day-to-day, like my life as I knew it. And again, it just gave me a lot of perspective. And so after that is when I started my Actually, I started two businesses right after. One was an eco wellness products business, and quickly realized I hate selling physical products. So got that out of the way. So I was like, okay, built this. It was an amazing experience, but didn't want to do that. Then I co-founded a clean water social enterprise in Ethiopia. And that was because I had that break from my regular work. I was able to reconnect with what was important to me, how I wanted to spend my time and do work. Yeah. And then after that, got into a little bit back, not really consulting, but that's when I was the chief operating officer of a digital consultancy. I was, again, working with mission-based organizations. And I just realized that's when I got to that point of, this isn't the life that I really want for myself. Because people would say, Sarah, you're living the dream. But I'm like, it's not my dream. It's a goal that I wanted to reach and I did. And it's not, I always say a dream is a hard wish your heart makes from Cinderella. Because it's true. It's really, goals are from your mind. And your dreams are really from your heart. And you have to connect with your feelings and your emotions to get clear on them. And so, yeah, after I left that, I didn't actually have a clear plan for what was next or what Impactory was going to be. I just knew that I needed to take a break to, again, get that perspective, to build my skills up, to reconnect with myself and figure out, okay, what do I want to do? What's the meaning I want to create in my life, in my career? And so, yeah, and then after that, and the evolution happened where I ended up starting my business Impactory. And yeah, and now I just take mini breaks instead of like full blown big ones. I do my summers. So this is literally part of my annual plan is like I take a month off in summer. I take a month off over the holidays, over December. So yeah.
You are going to make a lot of listeners very jealous. But that is great. That's great. That should inspire folks to spend a few minutes this week, reflect, and think about how they want to continue to go ahead in life. Sarah, I think one thing that I felt I was lucky with during my startup journey also was I always had very good mentors, but I've also had amazing friends. I've been through times when I wasn't able to pay my bills and my friends would cover in, and I would rarely even have to ask or feel this pressure of, you know, the fact that I've taken help from people, right? And it's important to have that support ecosystem. You said you quit your corporate job, sold all your stuff, packed whatever you had left and moved to Spain. What does your support ecosystem look like? And what was it before? And what does it look like today?
Yeah, support, that's been a journey. Because for me, I had a lot of shame around asking for help. I definitely was always the one who was like helping others. And I was always the support for people. So that was really like a part of my identity. And I had judgment around asking for help. Of course, this was like on a subconscious level. I didn't actively think this, but when it came down to it, I would get myself into a position. This is why I ended up going through the physical and mental health challenges from burnout, because I just kept pushing and wasn't getting support because I had always been able to push through. So that was a very high cost for me to rehabilitate from. That took me years, but I have not forgotten the lesson. So now I am such an advocate of people getting the support that they need. There is no shame in it. It takes way more courage to ask for help than it does to go hide in a corner and pretend everything is fine and put your head in the sand. So now what I do is I also have the support of coaches. So I get coached, I have my therapist and friends. I also think it's so important to surround yourself with other people who are on entrepreneurship journey or whatever it is that you're, whatever field you're in, just having people around you who get it and who understand your struggles. And I think having people who are a little bit more ahead of you, so they can say, oh, hey, here's my contract that I already made, or here's the lawyer that I use for this, or hey, don't forget when you're doing this to sign up for this or whatever. They can basically share the lessons that they've learned along the way. But I think for me now, Orin, if you're listening, a little shout out. He's my business accountability buddy. And this has been really a game changer for me is we meet once a month for an hour and we talk about, so we set up the structure of our calls where we reflect on our last month. So we talk about our highs, our lows, what we want to start doing for the next month, what we want to stop doing, like what's working, what's not. And we also talk about our goals for the month. And just having this structure has been so helpful because when you're an entrepreneur, it's like, my to-do list is never ending. There are 1,000 things. How do I prioritize it? And so this has just given me every month, I know that I'm going to at least plan the month. And then after doing that for about 6 months, then this year I actually made a plan for the whole year. And so I break it down by quarter and then month. And oh my gosh, the relief that I have felt from having that. Some people might be like, this girl's crazy. Yeah, I thought I was crazy too. Maybe it is a little crazy, but it really does bring structure when things are chaotic because there's always a million priorities. And depending on the team that you have supporting you, like I don't have another founder. It's just me. So I'm making so many decisions. So decision fatigue is real. So having a clear structure that this is what you're prioritizing, these are your goals, that kind of thing has been really helpful to have as support around me.
That is amazing, Sarah. Can you also share some success story of somebody in your program that achieved a certain breakthrough? Yeah. Were there any key factors that contributed to that breakthrough?
Yeah, sure. I think it's not like one specific person, but this is like the change that happens that makes me keep wanting to do what I'm doing is really just giving people the space, like a calming space to just be themselves, where they don't feel judged, where they feel safe expressing themselves and just being able to talk through things. Giving them that space. And then when we'll actually go through and do reflections to help loosen up their way of being. So like I was saying before, questioning, what do I want? How am I spending my time today? Like just starting to ask these questions or where am I having strong emotions around things? And once you start loosening those things up, it's usually like in the second session, but you'll see some in the first, but definitely by the second session, it's like there was a change. They see themselves and the world differently. Like there is before and after this moment. And it's incredible how they will just start showing up differently. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you are unrecognizable. Are you the person who was in the last session? It's incredible because truly, like I mentioned before, we go deep and really get to the root of what you want and what is holding you back. And so when you can loosen up those things, if you have anger around something, we can like let that go, or you have sadness or the fear. There's so much fear, especially in entrepreneurship, and you end up just keeping yourself small. And so when you finally address like, oh, this is why I'm afraid of this, and you can let that go, oh my gosh, it's just truly limitless potential from there and creativity. So for me, yeah, just seeing, witnessing that, yeah, being witness to it is just such a beautiful and really powerful thing.
Can't wait to do something like this. One last question before we switch gears a little bit. What are some misconceptions about career fulfillment that you more often than not encounter? And that's one of the things that you are encouraging people to understand better about their careers. Mm-hmm.
I think the main thing is just having a narrow focus on what work has to be, realizing that you do have choice. There are options. You are, by pigeonholing yourself into just a traditional career path, like going the corporate finance consulting, whatever, like that kind of route. Yes, that is an option, but I have yet to find a filled consultant or banker. But yeah, it's, I think just questioning, is this really the path? I think people don't realize that you can question it and that you can be successful and honestly, way more successful, not necessarily doing your own thing. Like entrepreneurship is not for everyone. I think it's very glamorized, but it is the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, but it's also been the most rewarding thing. But everyone's not built for that. But just being able to get clear on what do I want, and then realizing you can make change within your company. You can just ask for it. Hey, to your manager, I'm really interested in doing more of XYZ. I want to build my skills in this. Or maybe there's an extracurricular thing that's part of the company that you want to start leading. Or I always took advantage of that, especially when you're in corporate. The budget that you have is basically endless. So to put on, I used to host all kinds of events using the budget that we had. And I was able to host events for 200, 250 people in person, have these incredible speakers. I'm not just saying like you have to go the entrepreneurial route, because I don't think that's for everyone. But if it is, you're never going to know until you just try it out. So I think the main thing is just get moving, test things out, talk to people who are doing it so that you can have a better idea of if that is going to work for you. It sounds aligned.
One last question before I let you go. You've traveled around a lot. You've lived in different places and almost become a global citizen. And tell us a little bit about location freedom. And you also have talked about location freedom in alignment with self-values. What does that really mean? And is there any tips for listeners here as they start to figure out? And I'm just being selfish, because this year for me is that journey. Like, I want to figure out, based on my values, where do I want to live more longer term? So tips for me and all the listeners.
Of course. Yeah, I think particularly if you're in entrepreneurship, but you have a lot more options. But if you are in corporate, whatever it is, I always say like the business works for me. I don't work for the business. So I start with, what is the life that I want for myself? What do I want my, and I don't just mean, oh, I want to take a vacation. Whatever, I want to take a vacation every year. It's what do I want my day to look like? Because that's really your life, is your every day, not just the weekend. And so when you look at that, then reverse engineering. Okay, what would I need to make this happen? And for example, with my business, I knew that I had to be GRB independent for this, because for me, like a huge value for me is belonging and connection. That is because I'm in Madrid, I'm in Europe, my family and my closest friends from many years ago are in the United States. That is a far trip and is pretty exhausting to do that. So for me, I knew I wanted to be able to go back to the US for at least 2 weeks at a time, twice a year, to maintain that connection, to feel just all the love that even my friends here and from around the world, there's nothing like getting a hug from your dad or your mom, that kind of thing. And just the friends who have known you for 20 years, you can't replace that. So for me, that was a huge thing that was aligning with my values of belonging and connection. But also because I had lived in such a chronic state of stress and like survival mode for so long, having a place where I felt very safe and where I could prioritize my well-being on a day-to-day basis was really important. For me, Madrid is so bad. I love not only there's such a sense of community and belonging here as well, but just the pace of life is a lot slower than I was experiencing in the US. The values are much more on connection, belonging, friends, family versus just work all the time. I definitely still have very strong work ethic, but because I'm in an environment that supports what I'm trying to achieve, that slower pace, even though I'm still American and I'm still, I'm calmed down, but being in this environment just keeps perspective for me. So that's how I'm able to really achieve the life that I want, and having that. For me, location freedom is super, super important. But I think whatever it is for you is just getting clear on, again, what do I want my life to look like? And realizing you have choice, not what do I think it should look like or what do I think I can achieve. It's, hey, like dream big, 10x whatever you said. These are your goals, make them even bigger. You're never going to reach them if you don't, at least if you're afraid to even say it out loud or write it down, then you're not going to reach it. So I just encourage people to get clear on that. And what actually happens is once you're like, I want this, I need this in my life, your brain will actually start looking for opportunities because it constantly, it's always wanting to solve problems. And so once you're like, how could I go and be home for this amount of time? Or for example, for me, after I did my MBA, I knew I wanted to stay in Spain. I don't have a visa. I don't have a passport. Like, girl, how are you staying in Europe? What are you bringing about? I ended up like getting on a retirement visa and all the, there were, my brain was like, we're doing this and found opportunities because it was on the lookout for those. So yeah, just trust the process. But first, you got to get clear on what you want. And then I think the rest will present itself and fall into place.
That's amazing, Sarah. Thank you for sharing your journey. And I know some of the topics are more difficult to express. And of course, you've strengthened yourself over time. But a lot of people are still today very hesitant to talk about anxiety, chronic illness, going to a therapist. So thank you for sharing all of your personal stories as well. And of course, the amazing professional journey that you've had. It was great having you on the show, and hopefully we will catch up again sometime.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thank you. And that wraps up today's episode. Before we sign off, I would like to thank you for your support and thanks for tuning in. If you love today's episode, then don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and never miss an episode. Be kind, be happy, challenge the norm. I'll see you folks again for the next one.